preached to you today a sermon entitled, Nothing Changes Until Something Changes. Nothing changes until something changes. I stole this sermon. It's mine now. First time you preach it, you give credit. The second time, you might give credit. The third time, it's yours. And I stole this from an African-American preacher. And I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Macklin. He preached a general convention for us back in 2006 or 7 for the Pentecostal Church of God in Joplin, Missouri. And it was such a powerful message that I had to bring it home and share it with the church. And I want to share it again today. But Brother Macklin is a general bishop or superintendent or something high up in the Church of God in Christ. I think he's stationed out in somewhere in California. But anyway, I believe today that the church is on the brink of its greatest hour, a time to fulfill God's purpose in our church. I told somebody just the other day that my goal and vision for years has been to have a family life center here. It's never come to fruition, but it's always been a goal and a desire in my life. And I'm not promoting that today. I'm just telling you, I've had vision of a lot more people than what we have, a larger church than what we have, and I've had vision of a need that would come about because of growth of the church. So I still believe that we're on a brink of a great hour, a time to fulfill God's purpose in this church, a time to be what God has called us to be, a time to move from complacency to victory. I want, as I go along with these different points, I'm going to have to stop and make a new point as I go. But I believe that our church reached a place some time ago, and maybe it's because of leadership. I don't know, but I do know that I believe we reached a place of complacency and satisfaction in where we were at. We were doing good enough. We're paying our bills, paying the preacher well, got a nice facility. We got all we need. We don't need no more. I think sometimes that's how we've gotten, whether we realize it or not. We've reached a place that we're satisfied. There's never a place in the body of Christ to be totally satisfied. You might be a place of victory where God is blessing you enormously, but you can never be satisfied with the status quo. If we get satisfied with the status quo, we will stagnate and our growth will end, because God won't bless nothingness. God won't bless it when we won't take what He's put in our hands and use it for His glory and to build His kingdom. It's not about building Countryside Church today, nor the Pentecostal Church of God. It's about building that thing that God has birthed into our hearts to build for the kingdom of God and only for God's glory. And I apologize for becoming complacent myself and becoming weary in well-doing, because I've been there for a while now, but God has begun to deal with my, I wanted to retire, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to step away from the pulpit and go somewhere and just stick my feet in the water and just relax and enjoy what years I've got left. I realize I'm not an old man, but I'd kind of like to enjoy what God has for me other than pulpit ministry. But God has not released me from pulpit ministry nor from pastoring a church. And until He does, I don't care how many times my wife says I'd like to retire and be like other people, I've got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that means I die in the pulpit, then I die in the pulpit. Something's got to change. It's a time to move from complacency to victory. A time to move from failure to completion in Him. It is our greatest hour. I know the world's falling apart all around us. I know there's mass shootings on the news every night. There's murder and mayhem and rape and robbery and all kinds of things going on in our world. That's the time the church ought to arise. That's the time the church ought to shine. That's the time the church can show people that there is still hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. It's our greatest hour. It just takes one word to change the ordinary into the unbelievable. One word to change failure into success. One word to change our expectation of the future. The New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost and endued with power, and they knew only too well the power of one word, one sentence, and one phrase. The New Testament church expected the unexpected, believed the unbelievable, and were not surprised when surprising things happened. I tell you, we need to get back to that, don't we? When God wants to, what God wants to do in us and for us is only limited by our belief, expectation, and our imagination. We've settled for less too long. Acts the 3rd chapter in the 1st verse, I'll read through verse 10. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look at us, or look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Ooh, that preaches right there. I'll move on. "And he expected. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Father, today we ask you, Lord, to bless and anoint again your word. Open the eyes of our heart that we might receive everything that you would have us receive from this message today. Help us, Lord, not to discount one single word, not to say that it's not for me, but to receive with gladness the engrafted word of God today in Christ's name. Amen. Look to the person around you and say to them today, I don't know what you're waiting or looking for, but I want you to know. Tell them that. I don't know what you're waiting or looking for, but I want you to know nothing changes until something changes. Come on, tell them. Say it out loud. Nothing changes until something changes. There are things that diminish us. There are things that disappoint us, deceive us, and discourage us. And then there is faith. There are things that frighten us, startle us, confuse us, and stop us. But then there is faith. There are things that hurt us, knock us, block us, and cost us. And then there is faith. What definition defines us today? What boundaries surround us today? What fence encloses us today? What fear stops us? What obstacles block us? What failures haunt us? What disappointments grieve us? What expectations limit us? All of us could be in a different place in God right now if it were not for the things that block us in. We've all been blocked in. I would say that one of my blocks today, the things that's blocked me in over the years, has been low self-esteem. Well, I couldn't tell it by talking to you. Well, I can't help it what the persona I put out there. I've had to deal with low self-esteem for a long time, thinking I couldn't do it because I didn't quite measure up. But I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I understand about things and disappointments and fear that and obstacles that and failures that might balk and stop and haunt you today. John 17, verse 18, Jesus said, "As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him that have who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." From these three scriptures we can gather that we are a sent peculiar people to shine before men. I need to let that sink in for just a minute. You are a sent peculiar people who are supposed to let your light shine. Come on now. That's us. A peculiar means a prized, purchased possession, personal property, something treasured, the Lord's own possession. You have been bought with a price. You are not your own any longer. You are to glorify God in your bodies. You are to take what God has given you and placed at your disposal and use it and put your light high. Don't put it under a bushel, but let your light shine before men and help win them to Jesus Christ. We can't grow if we don't go. The Pentecostal movement is one of the fastest growing movements in the world. Not necessarily in the United States of America, but around the world. Pentecostalism is growing like a wildfire around the world. But we have sat in our Pentecostal churches and took the name Pentecostal off of our signs and tried to hide it from people to help draw them in and trick them into our church. Maybe we need to take that facade off of our sign down by the road and put Pentecostal on it once again and say, "We are Pentecostal. We believe in all the whole counsel of the Word of God. We believe in talking in tongues. We believe dancing in the Spirit. We believe of signs, wonders, and miracles. We still believe in people being healed." Maybe it's time to no longer be ashamed of our heritage, but promote our heritage and let people know that Jesus is still alive. So, there is no doubting the power of Pentecost around the world. You might say, "Pastor, we had him first." But it's not who had him first. It's who has him now. How long has it been since you talked in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance? How long has it been since you ran the aisle because the Spirit of the Lord got into you? How long has it been since you danced in the Spirit because Holy Spirit got into your feet? How long has it been till you dared walk up to somebody and said, "Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the hope that's within me. Let me tell you how to become born again. Let me tell you how to avoid hell's damnation and God's wrath. Let me tell you how to be born again." How long has it been? It doesn't matter, my friends, how many books we've read or written about the Holy Ghost. We need to convince people of the need for the Holy Ghost. It's only when the power of God, the power of Pentecost, is manifested in the lives of people that people will see and be convicted of the awesome present power of God. He's still real. The Holy Ghost is still real. Call him the Holy Spirit if you want to, but I still believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been endued with power from on high. The early church was endued with power, and they saw great things happen. I guarantee you they wouldn't have been fighting about gender-neutral bathrooms. Pentecostalism didn't grow and will not grow because everybody gets along. There's going to be division at times. I remember the story of John and Peter. Is Peter or Paul? Is who was it? John Mark was involved. I know that. It was Paul and Barnabas. And John Mark left them, ran away, run out on them for whatever reason, got cold feet, and he left. Well, later on in life, Paul said, send John Mark to me. He's profitable. I need him here with me. So there was division, but that division caused greater growth. It brought unity. They didn't see eye to eye for a moment, but Barnabas said, I'll take the young man and I'll mentor him. Paul, you take somebody else. I believe that's how the story went. We don't always get along, but we are Pentecostal. We should speak in tongues. We should pray for the sick and expect them to recover. We run the aisle sometime and should fill the altars of self-sacrifice. Those altars ought to be full. Every time I say let's have a season of prayer, the altar ought to be full. Can I just say that again? Every time there's an opportunity to pray, you ought to be in the altar. It's self-sacrifice. It's not comfortable to lean across that old 12-inch altar sometime. Your knees are hurt. Your rib cage might get bruised. But I tell you, you'll get up there a different person if you'll come with the right attitude. If that hurts you too much, we got carpeted steps up here. And there's portions of them ain't been stepped on. So you won't have to worry. Get up on the altar. Come on now. Some of this I'm throwing in, by the way. It's not on my notes. Rubber bands are useless unless they're stretched. The tension determines the strength of the rubber band. You can't not determine the strength until you pull it. You can look, you can't tell for sure. You got to pull it. We are so close to the world that there's no longer any tension. There's no tension. However, when we move to the direction of God's power, there is tension that moves us. We need to move back towards God and come away from the world. Come out of the world and separate yourself as God intends for us to separate ourselves. He didn't say not to be in the world. You are of the world. You are in the world, but you're not of the world in the sense that you participate in everything that the world does. But you're out there to be an example of how to live for God and to be a beacon of hope and light for that lost person you come in contact with. You can't... I'll leave that alone for a minute. There's tension. On the one hand, the church has some tension because we're looking for Jesus to come. But on the other hand, there's still some lost souls to be saved. I think we got to the place here in our church that we're just waiting on Jesus to come. So we've sat down on our chairs. We've took a chair and we've just about done this. That's the East, isn't it? Well, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for Jesus to come. There's nothing more for me to do. I'm old, I'm tired, and I've done it for a long time. So I'm just going to watch the eastern sky. Where'd you get that from? I'm looking for him to come any day now. But I don't sit down and watch the eastern sky all the time. I still got to do life. And so do you. I know he's coming soon, but Jesus still has a desire for you to win somebody else, and that should be your desire also. Win one more soul for Jesus. So you see, we have to understand the Lord is coming, and what we're going to do, we've got to do it now. I preached this back in 2007. That's a long time ago. We still have a mandate from heaven and from the Word of God to do it now. If you have a song, sing it now.
If you have a message, bring it now. If you have a light, shine it now. If you have a word, say it now. In the text today, we see where Peter and John were going to the temple for a 3 p.m. prayer meeting. Oh, can you imagine? Prayer meeting, it seems just a little unusual, doesn't it, in these days? They had recently been filled with the Holy Ghost. They had walked with Jesus and witnessed His miracles. They were leaders of the church, but they were going to a prayer meeting. They had title, they had rank, they had history behind them, but somehow they felt it necessary to go to a prayer meeting. I was thinking about this earlier. They were going to a prayer meeting. They hadn't just got all they needed and said, "That's enough. I'm just gonna operate on what I got until I get on empty. I'm gonna wait till I'm on fumes, and then I'm gonna go to the prayer meeting." No, they said, "I'm gonna top it off. I'm gonna top my tank off. I'm gonna keep it full. I'm not going to wait till yesterday I seen Denny, and he was sitting there over by the gate at the house, and his car was sitting kind of down, and it just died on him. And he said, 'Daddy, I think I'm running out of gas.' He said, ever since he had some work done on it, when it gets down about a quarter of a tank, it's out. So the gauge is wrong. He said, 'I got to get to gas station. I'm running out of gas.'" That's kind of how we do, isn't it? We wait till we're down almost out of gas. We're in desperation. We are down to where we can't even take care of our own spiritual needs. And then we run to an altar and say, "God, you gotta help me." When God intended for you to keep your tank full. They were headed to a prayer meeting at 3 o'clock. This prayer meeting, and some prayers I should say are spontaneous. Some prayers are offered in times of crisis. Some are offered on special occasions. Some prayers are offered out of desperation. This prayer meeting was preset and designated. A prayer meeting, a set time to pray, is important because that's when you can expect God. But more importantly, it's when God can expect you. Most of us, if we would be honest, don't have a set time to pray. We pray when it's convenient. Or we pray after a while. And after a while doesn't get there. We read the Word after a while, but we're always busy. Work and children and recreation and this and then that, and this thing will happen and that thing will happen. Just last Thursday, I wanted to do some work around the church, just to give you an example. And I knew I'd have all afternoon to pray and read and study and do some things like that. So I went to got my, I needed to bring my tractor up to the church, and I go over to get my tractor, and I got a flat tire. Now, I was able to air it up and go ahead and load my tractor and everything I needed, and I brought it up here and got up here, and this I broke a hose. So I had to go to town. I mean, before I got started on the 2-hour project I was going to do here at the church, it was after lunch. By the time I got through with what I thought was a short project, it was almost 5. And I'd been out in the sun most of the day. I was hot. I was tired. And I went home. And I went to where the air conditioner was, and I got my lazy boy, and I didn't move much. My Bible's laying just across the room over there, but it didn't get opened. But I found that TV remote, and I got the buttons just almost worn where you can't see the numbers on them. But I got time for that. Stare mindlessly and aimlessly at a screen. If you was to ask me right now what I watched yesterday for just a very short time, I would have to really think about it. That's how much that impacted my life. But I read a few short scriptures today out of the book of 2 Corinthians, and it impacted my life. Preacher, you're going a lot of different directions. Well, some people call them rabbit trails. I call them, I'm going under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. We expect miracles at church, sometimes after church, but this one happened on the way to church. We cannot afford to pass the church on the way to church. The church is all around us. You're the church. The man was at the gate called Beautiful. The devil's not afraid of your church membership, a minister's ordination papers, a person's degree, or any piece of paper signifying our importance. He's not afraid of that stuff. Titles and positions don't equate ministry. You might be a Sunday school teacher, a nursery attendant, might be the pastor's wife or a preacher's wife, or hold one of the five-fold ministry offices today. Mentioned in Ephesians, 4th chapter and 11th verse. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. But that's not where real ministry is at. That's good that you have those offices. But if you're not going to take what God has anointed you with and what has gifted you with and use it for His glory, it doesn't do anybody any good. Nor does it frighten the devil. Nor will you win a soul with it. Real ministry only happens when we pray. Signs, wonders, miracles, and lives truly being changed only happen when we pray. You guys are quiet. A religion that insulates us from the world has little has little or no power to influence the world. Christians should not seek insulation from the world, but rather we are a conduit to the world to bring hope and light and healing to the world. That's what we are. We're Christians. When people see you, they ought to see hope. They ought to see light. They ought to see an opportunity to get out of what they're in when they see you. The church is not a hideout. It's not where we go because we can't deal with the problems of life. Everybody here has problems, but that's not why you're here today. You're not hiding out from your problems. It's not because you can't face the world or society today. That's not what the church is. The church has been called out, and we are not to hide out from the world, but called out by the Holy Ghost to impact the world around us. Everywhere you go, you should impact the world. Here a while back, I got crossways with a lady. I didn't mean to. I'm being my own dry, sarcastic self. And this young man, I was at a feed store, and this young man walked in front of me, and he said, "Excuse me." And I had no problem with it whatsoever. He didn't almost knock me down or nothing. I wasn't angry. And I just said, "Well, I popped off something," and the lady at the desk said, "Well, he said, excuse me." Well, ma'am, I heard him say, "Excuse me." I don't know what all I said. I'm being smart, Alec. And she thought I said, "I'm not serious." "Well, yeah, you are." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not at least a bit angry at that guy or you or anybody else." And I apologized all over myself. I got out of there as soon as I could. And I went back just a few days later. And I walked in there. I put on the biggest smile I could. I walked up to her desk and I said, "How you doing today?" And she looked at me like, "Oh God, it's him again." I go, "Ma'am, I want to apologize to you again. I was just being smart aleck, being dry. I have this sense of humor. I wasn't trying to be hateful. I was trying to be funny. It didn't go over. I understand that. Would you forgive me?" "Well, I thought you was mad." I said, "Ma'am, I was not mad. You'd knew it if I was mad. I wasn't mad." I said, "Can I hug you? I'm sorry." I gave her a hug around the shoulder. And I went back the next time and I walked in because, "Hi, how you doing?" She was really, and I was in there the other day with my wife, and I walked up to her counter. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. We're friends now." I make it a point to go see her. I want my light to shine. It must have been dim that day. Might have been out. Fact is, I think my wife and I was fighting. That's what it was, yeah. No, I made that up. That wasn't it at all. I wasn't having a bad day. But when she got through with me, I left out of there feeling about that big, because I knew I didn't do that on purpose. I wasn't angry, but I still took the high road. I lit my torch. So I'm going to let my light shine. She might blow it out, but I'm going to light it back. And I'm going to make a friend out of that lady. She's not going to dread me coming in there. Come on now. How many times have you got the courage to do that when you make you wrong? Whether you're really wrong or not, you say, "I'm going to let my light shine. I'm not going to let them blow it out. If they do, I'm going to light it back." We're not a hideout. The text today shadows the life of two men of God who are sent into the world to show forth the praises of Him who called them out to let their light shine. Two men walking in the strength of God into the everydayness of life. Folks, we live every day in life. That's just what we do. We live life. And whatever it is you do, or your job, your whatever it is, you're living life. As they approached the temple that day, they saw a lame man who had laid there daily at the gate. Every day he was there. He was not beautiful. People on the outside are often tainted by sin and the choices of their lifestyle. You're going to come across people who aren't pretty. They're tainted by what they've done. And they know they're tainted. They know they're not pretty. But they are out there. They're laid out by the gate. They're not wanted inside the church. But the disciples that day did not try to avoid the dirty and the ugly. They could have taken another route. Think about that for a minute. That guy, the Bible says he was laid at that gate every day. So they had came through that gate before. But on this particular day, the Holy Spirit dealt with them to deal with him. So they could have took another, they could have said, "Well, like us, we see somebody we don't like at Walmart and we find another aisle to go down." They could have found another gate to go in. There was more than one. But they went to that gate. They could have ignored him as he went by. But they showed an attitude, a deliberate method of evangelism. They engaged the people where they were. The begging, the sick, and the dying. They didn't care. They engaged them. Ministry is not restricted to the pulpit. To the inside of the church. It's not ministry simply because we stand behind the pulpit or sit in the pews or come forward for prayer. That's not ministry. It's ministry, but it's not what it's all about. All of us are called of God. We're all gifted. And all of us have gifts according to our several abilities to impact the world. God didn't give you the gift so you could brag about the gift. I mean, you hear people like that. "Well, I've got the gift of this and I've got the gift of that. God's give me a word, preacher." There's a guy who used to give us a word. I mean, that guy'd wait till church was over and he'd come up to me. He'd come up with this real meek look on his face and, "Pastor, God gave me a word." Why'd you wait till I dismissed before you come up here and tell me God gave us a word? If he gave you a word, why don't you come to me before church and let's discuss it, and then we'll run with it then if it's God. Don't come up and put me on spot. Maybe it was God. Maybe it wasn't. Or maybe you're just looking for attention. I don't know. You're putting me on spot. You're not giving me discernment has to kick in real quick. By the way, he ain't here no more. Didn't last too long. I quit giving him opportunity. Said, "Dude, you got something to say, I'll let you say it, but don't do me that way. I'm tired of it. Let's do it right. Don't bring attention to ourselves. Let God move." Anyway, let's use our ability. We are here to impact culture right where we're at. We're here, we're not here to let the culture impact us. I won't go there. I'll leave that alone. The greatest blows to the kingdom, the devil's kingdom, is not what we've already done, but what we can do. We can't rest on what we used to do. I can't rest on the fact we used to run and have 50 teenagers here on a Wednesday night. I can't rest in that. That was great times. But that was used to be. I'm interested in what can be. What is and what can't be. Not what used to be. It don't matter. That's in the past. We got to move forward. Through prayer, we can restore the awe of worship. We can sing all these songs you want to sing. If you ain't been praying, you ain't been studying the Word of God, you not been presenting your body a living sacrifice, all it is just vain repetition. And it gets boring after a while. But if you've been where you need to be with God, and you begin to sing the high praises of God, it don't matter how many times they sing that song, you're going to get into it. I can gauge a crowd by just turning around and glancing at you usually. I can gauge whether you're carnal, whether you want to be here or not, or whether you're just hoping to get it over with. We can gauge that pretty good. I've been doing it too long now. Look around. We start out. Oh, I'll leave that alone too. Miracles are still for today. Maybe we need a miracle revival of true worship in the church. But our ministry to the world is not a choice. It's a calling. We must hold the standard. We have been born again. We've been sanctified and baptized in the Holy Ghost. We still believe in speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, and casting out devils. We have had too much pandering in the pulpits, too much pandering in the Sunday school class, too much pandering in the church. In other words, we've helped too many people satisfy unworthy or sinful desires. I'm tired of trying to get along with those that are doing everything in the world except serving God. I'm tired of patting the unwed mother on the back and telling her how proud I am of them. I'm not proud of an unwed mother who's had a child out of unholy union. I'm not proud of that. I will back them. I will accept them. I will pray for them. I will love them, but I will not condone sin. I don't care whose sin it is. It's time that the church stand up and be the church. I will not condone a lifestyle outside of normal marriage and normal union between a man and a woman, but I will love that person. But I cannot condone the sin. I will not condone the sin of thievery and lying and cheating and gossip, but I will love the gossiper. I will love the liar. I will love that cheater, but I will teach them about the love of God and a way to come out from among that sin and be made holy. I want you to know today it's time for the church to get away from being seeker friendly, to get away from motivational speakers, and it's time for the church to no longer compromise godly values just to get along and not offend. We've been silent for too long in a noisy world. We've let the world tell us what we're going to do. We've let the world scare us into complacency and to be silent. And it's time for us to rise up and no longer be silent. We're the church. We're the church. We're the blood-bought church. We're the empowered church of Almighty God. It's time for the church to be the church. Come on, give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. I'm going to tell you something, church. Nothing changes until something changes. As long as we continue doing what we've always done, we're going to have what we've always had. Nothing changes until something changes. There was a beggar that day. He didn't have any silver or gold, but they shared what they had. We must stop letting the church, what the church has, dictate what the church does. We have everything that we need. And our church size, and I want you to get this, our church size is not determined by the size of the building, but the size of the vision that God has birthed into our spirit. I see a mighty army arising here at Countryside like we've never had before, but it's going to take a person, a man and a woman, people that will say, I'm no longer happy to be where I'm at, and I'm going to let God change me. I'm going to allow God to empower me with the Holy Ghost and fire, and I'm going to walk out these four doors, and I'm going to be all that God has intended for me to be. I'm going to rise up as a part of a mighty army of God. Four things in closing. And when I get through here, and I'll say my last nothing changes until something changes. I want you to know at that point these altars are open. Fact is, they're open now. Four things. We must receive the power. If we're going to see miracles, we need some power. And that, secondly, we have to walk the walk. It, not just inside the church, but walk the walk where people are hurting. Take the message of Pentecost to the world. Quit keeping it here inside the church and bottled up inside of you, but take it, the message to the world. We are Pentecost, and because of that, God gives us the power to help you be released from every demon that holds you. Then we have to speak the word. They said, look on us, and what I have in the name of the Lord I give you. Take what God has given you and give it to somebody else. He has empowered you to be a witness. He has empowered you with signs, wonders, and miracles. You have the ability, and God will give you the opportunity, and you have the power to function as a part of the body of Christ. You don't need a preacher standing by you. You don't need the preacher leading the prayer, but you need to just say, what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Number four, we need to expect the unexpected. We've become so shallow in our expectations that we no longer expect a miracle. We no longer expect a sign. We no longer expect somebody to run the aisle. We just come and have church as usual. It's time to expect the unexpected. Once again, let the power of the Holy Ghost move within us. Hallelujah. Nothing changes until something changes. Amen? 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 It's time to pray. Let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's let Him do what He needs to do in our lives. Come on, church. Find you a place.